Hello, good morning. 92.3 Nigeria Info. How are you doing? Happy International Women's Day. You know, in Nigeria, it's how we add happy to anything. It's more like a prefix. When it's a day for something, we just have to say happy. Happy Christmas, happy Easter, happy birthday, happy weekend, happy Sunday, happy new week. Happy International Women's Day. My name is Ifeyemi Andrew. For those who do not know, the International Women's Day is the 8th of March every single year. And I love the theme for this year. It's actually gender equality today for a sustainable tomorrow. Whether you like it or not, women play a vital role. In fact, many would describe women as the force of life because they bring forth life. So they're not just responsible for tomorrow, in the sense that they carry life, they also are responsible for tomorrow because they can contribute from what they know, their experience, their talent, their gifts, abilities. It's just enormous what they can do. And that's why today is to remind the world again the need to recognize women in our society and what they bring to the table. When I said that, I almost laughed because the argument of what do you bring to the table has been trending on Twitter. Anyways, my name is Ifeyemi Andrew, 8 minutes past eight. Good morning. My guest would be in the studio with us a few minutes from now, Dr. Hilda Desmond. Here, Carrie. She is the coordinator, African Women Lawyers Association, River State Chapter. So she'll be here with us and we'll be having a wonderful conversation on the role of women in Nigeria's politics, the role and position, not just role, the role and position of women in Nigeria's politics. How is it so far, especially with the recent bills that wasn't approved by the Assembly during the Constitution Amendment? The protest that happened afterwards. In fact, we had the wife of the vice president there. We had many of the women present. They did all they could, lawmakers. And it turned out the way it did. Painful to some extent that not even one or two. You know what it means for a whole five? It's almost like you would want to say like maybe the members of the House didn't look at it. They just decided already before they came to sit down to say this is what we're going to do. Well, I'm not a member of the House, so I wouldn't know. I'm just saying hypothetically. But that's what anybody who is a feminist would think. And remember, being a feminist doesn't mean you have to be a woman. It's just feminism means supporting equal rights for women, supporting women to get equal opportunities as men. That's what feminism is, and not whatever, I don't know what other people are preaching and what people practice these days in the name of feminism. But that's it. Equal rights, equal opportunities. Don't look at the gender of a person and determine, that should not determine what kind of job they should do, what function they should play, what role they should play. No, that's not where we are in this time and age. So that's our conversation this morning on the Morning Crossfire. Before we go further, something I'd like to play for you to listen. It's a legal practitioner in Port Harcourt, Kingdom Chigozie, who supported the National Assembly's rejection of the 35% affirmative bill for women to occupy political elective positions. Remember, in the time of former President Goodluck Jonathan, we had that. And it was really exciting because it was one time where women felt really like they belonged because they felt, you know, change was coming and we were gradually getting to that point. And the expectation would be that we would build on that success to achieve even more. If that is still the case, I do not know. I'll allow you to decide that yourself. But this is what he said, the legal practitioner here in Port Harcourt. And this, our conversation would also take a cue from some of the things that he highlighted. Hopefully, as soon as my guest gets to the studio, some of these questions will be asked and we'll get some response to it and see. I'd just like you to listen to what he said first.
Talk about women participation in politics. I feel that the right thing to do is not for this lot to just be given to women. They have to contest it. It's a public office. People will have to have confidence in them. People have to see them as having the capacity to represent them in holding public offices. They have to give them votes. They have to earn the votes. It's not a matter of whether you're a man or woman. If you earn the votes, then you can get it. As far as what the National Assembly has done in this respect, I do not fault them. I think they have left it at the pranks of what it should be left for the society to determine who should stand in for them, whether it's a woman or a man.
And that's the last part of his comment there is where I really want us to have a conversation on. The fact that he said the decision should be made by society. It now brings us to what kind of society do we have? Then the conversation takes a whole different dimension. But that's not all. When we spoke with my guest earlier, she also had a few things to say about the National Assembly's rejection of the five bills that affected women's equal participation in politics. According to her, in that interview, she said it proves that Nigeria is still operating a male-based society. That was her opinion about the whole situation. Operating a male-based society. Listen to this.
This year's International Women's Day, women are not excited because of what is happening in the country. The National Assembly rejected five bills that seeks to bring equality or end the gender bias and parity in the country. And rejection of that bill is like a rejection of women altogether. If you look at it, the bill is ordinarily an honest bill, seeks to allow certain rights to women, particularly on the issue of citizenship of their husbands, removing discriminatory practices against widows.
Okay, so you heard that. One time we had this conversation among my colleagues. It was with regards to women being discriminated against in their family and not being allowed to have access to land or properties and all of that. And then you hear things like you're married to another man. You're not carrying the family name, right? So now she goes to the other man's family and they tell her, you're not part of us. You came from another family. So technically, you're saying she doesn't belong anywhere? That's the that's a question to ask, because if she would give up her family name to be with a man, that should mean that the man's family should take care of her. Well, perhaps they have ways to handle that. I do not know, but that has been a question that's been asked a lot of the times. Now, it isn't just my guest, Dr. Hilda, who had issues with this. Remember that the governor had also talked about the failure of the National Assembly, you know, to approve some of these bills. And he is taking time to call for women to protest. Yes, if you remember, the governor did that, asked women to protest. This was during the reception that was organized in his honor by the Ekpe ethnic nationality. So he was there and he said, today should be a day where women would gather, stand up, and speak up. He said, don't just go and dance, to try and be exact. I'm trying to get his exact words. Not go and dance, speak up, he says. But then also remember that at the first instance when the bills were not approved, the governor also said, what are they protesting for now? It's too late. Well, maybe he had to rethink and figure, you can go protest now, say something, demand something, so you get a change. This was what the governor said.
Let me use this opportunity to call on women. I hear on Tuesday that the celebration of International Women's Day. I ask Nigerian women, what are you celebrating? Then that particular day, women demonstrate against FGC who have refused women to be recognized. Don't go there. So I'm going to dance. That's nothing to dance until they recognize you. If FGC believes in women in Nigeria, like Jonathan did when he was president of Nigeria, he started a 35% affirmative policy of giving number of slots to women. We have started in River State. And to show their own love daughters, they refuse to amend that section of the Constitution. Now give opportunities to our wives. Now give opportunities to our sisters. Now give opportunities to our daughters.
So you heard the governor and what this means. Some people might say maybe he's coming from a political position. Well, that's not the context here. The context is the right of women. And because we're looking at the role and position of women in Nigerian politics, and then when you look at what happened at the assembly, the fact that you would expect that because the wife of the vice president was there, maybe you would have some people that would perhaps say, well, let us we have the wife of the vice president, let's be more liberal and open and look at this and perhaps have one or two of these bills passed, but none came through. And today, are we expecting protest from women? Is that what we should be looking at? Well, I don't know. But most importantly, my question would be, what is responsible for all of this, in quote, marginalization of women, in quote, in the politics of this country? What is responsible? Some people have even said, oh, it's because women don't support women. And when you look at the numbers, women play a serious role in the politics of the country. They play a major role, not just in voting, but especially in voting. So if they have that power and play that important role, why aren't politicians and why aren't women themselves looking at that power that they have and trying to see how they can demand more and be more relevant in the scheme of things? That's my question. So I'll open the phone line shortly, but that will be in the next couple of minutes. Stay tuned. Until you realize the power is in your hands, you may never see the development you want. Your PVC is that power. Let's vote to see the development we want. My name is Ifeyemi Andrew. Get your PVC.
Elections come and go. The country remains. Leaders come and go. The positions remain. Seasons come and go. One thing remains: the impact of the reality of those periods on the people. What will it be in the seasons to come? The election year is around now. The leadership positions must be manned. How our country turns out is a matter of choice. Ensure you make your choice. My name is Constance Mega. Get your PVC.
Get your PVC.
Get your PVC.
Why would you choose to cry when you could laugh? Why would you choose to suffer when you could enjoy yourself? Why would you unknowingly choose death when you could simply choose life? Take your life in your hands. Go get your PVC and choose leaders your children will be proud of. I'm Gabriella, and I am ready to vote.
I am ready.
This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, so here we are, 19 minutes past 8. Good morning. Again, happy International Women's Day. So we open the phone lines and now get talking. What is responsible for this? And also, it's quick to blame the government. You know how people are very fast to say, oh, the government isn't doing this, politicians aren't doing that, and blah, 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 blah. As an individual yourself, what have you done to show this zeal or will to have equality, even in your home as a father? You know, fathers, there are some things that the daughters can do and men can do in our communities. Oh, women, not this. Oh, we can't give land. Woman cannot collect land. But woman can bring money when she has money and family can collect it. A woman can bring money to buy land, but family cannot share land to a woman. There's a lot of things that you would look at. How far have we come as a people with regards to ensuring that women are represented, respected, and get the same right that we give to men? 0817 923 0002 0817 923 0003 0817 923 0007. Hello, Nigeria Info. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
My name is Jerome.
Okay, go ahead. Go on.
Well, tradition is responsible. However, I would not agree that women are marginalized. I will only say that they are short-circuit in most of their thinking. If they enjoy the benefits of these traditions. Why did they cry when it comes to the losses?
What are the benefits of the tradition to women?
Oh, the man pay the bride price, take care of them in relationships. Even in marriage, even take care of their parents. Is it not an injustice to men? Again, is it not an injustice to men that a woman is a soldier receiving same salary with a man? But when it comes to war, women don't go to war. Men go to war. They don't want to be in leadership position of going to war. But they want to be in leadership position of being president. So if they want to be in leadership position, they have to be in leadership position in all. If they are not ready to be in leadership position in all, then they should remain where they are. That's my own humble opinion.
Okay. All right. Thank you. When I also have this conversation with people, I get what he just said now. It's all usually brought up. People say, if we have war and violence and everything happening here now, who are the first people they evacuate? Women and children. Well, like I said earlier when I started the show, it's because women are seen to be a life force. Don't forget, they carry life. But that aside, they do beyond that. Okay, that they also have abilities, they can contribute in many ways. So yes, this argument, in as much as you want to make sense of it, we are pretty sure that we have women these days who are taking care of the family. When in that situation you have women who are the ones taking care of the family, feeding the children, paying rent, going to work, and all of these things that they do that a man is supposed to do, what then would happen with the roles? What would the man be contributing at that time? Hello, Nigeria Info. Good morning. Hello, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew.
Yeah, good morning to you. Go ahead.
Yeah, International Women's, and I say congratulations to all the women.
Okay.
That are listening right now, and those that are not listening. Those that are listening, to tell those that are not listening that we say congratulations to them. Andrew said it, I also said it. But Andrew, I must tell you that those bills, women should go and thank the National Assembly for rejecting those bills.
Why? How so?
Because those bills are to limit the women's abilities. Now, Andrew, let me ask you. Let's assume that they said women will get 35% of all the, what they call, political offices and everything. And you have more women suddenly, how will I put it now, participating and winning more than 35%. What happened? I'm asking, what happened? So you now ask for women to resign because they have exceeded 35%. And that deal, the women were looking at, oh, give us. What if a strong woman, for instance, tomorrow wants to become president? Just like Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, just like the one in South Korea before, just like Joyce Banda. What happened? The bill did not support that. You only ask for 35% of political office from the men. The man will not determine who become president, who become this, and give you a 35%. Is that not limitation? Not like a call to women. Not like, I'm blocking words to use right now. I think they should share those old beggarly attitudes and come out. Who said we can't form a women party? Who said we can't say, okay, all women, these people are doing like this. Let's form our party, fund it by ourselves, and see how we can put the narrative and become president of this country.
Okay.
Asking for 35%.
All right.
If you don't even have that limitation, you will even have more. No. They shouldn't form a hand with this now.
Okay. All right, JJ, thank you very much. My guest is here. We'll need to go on a short commercial, but first, Dr. Hilda Desmond, a hair carrier. I hope I got your name correctly.
Yes.
I did my best. You
thank
have to come
you.
Closer to the microphone.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. All right. Welcome.
Thank you.
Port Harcourt traffic. Was it Port Harcourt traffic or no petrol?
The traffic was there.
But that was actually the main thing. So the people buying fuel blocked the roads.
So sorry about that. Well, you're here now. We'll get into that conversation as soon as we return after this short commercial. If you do not know, she is the coordinator, African Women Lawyers Association, River State Chapter. My name is Ifeemi Andrew. Remember to send in your messages, WhatsApp 0809-030-6416. On Facebook, it is Nigeria Info PH. On Twitter, Nigeria Info PH. We'll be right back.
Tuned in to
92.3 Nigeria Info. All right, the nation's number one news talking sports radio station, Nigeria Info 92.3. My name is Ifeemi Andrew. The conversation is still very much on. Today is International Women's Day, and we're looking at the position and role of women in Nigeria's politics. Especially when you take a look at the bills that didn't go through, and not just in politics, many other aspects of our society where women have seemed to have been relegated. My guest is here against all odds. She navigated Port Harcourt traffic and found her way to the studio. Dr. Hilda Desmond Hekari, Coordinator, African Women Lawyers Association. You're welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Fiem.
You look great in black, but then I was about saying, when you wear black and you know how we are traditionally, we'll look at why black on International Women's Day? Is it that women are angry? Is that what it is?
Ordinary black is our regulation dress for lawyers. I know that black is beautiful.
Exactly.
Everything is black.
Okay,
is
so we shouldn't take the fact that maybe women are angry.
Although women are angry, everything sums up.
Yes. Aha. So it's like beauty and anger together. Like, that's... You're welcome.
Thank you.
So quickly, let's just get into it. Women, we understand first the call for a protest. The governor was one person who even said, that was just over the weekend, that today women should protest because they've been denied a lot. And the most recent one that happened at the assembly has caused a lot of people, including the wife of the vice president, to speak up. What's the position on that?
I agree with the governor that women should protest, and in fact, we are going to do one today. After I leave your studio, we have a talk on gender with the African Women Lawyers Association is collaborating with Center for Gender Studies to still interrogate this issue. You know, it's disheartening that in this month of International Women's Day, you know, and which ordinarily we ought to be celebrating. This day ordinarily is called out to celebrate women who have done beautiful well or who have made great impact in making our society a gender place. In fact, the UN has even said that this year's International Women's Day is pivotal to achieving Goal 5 of the United Nations, which is gender equality. And to even cap it up, the theme for this year is Gender Equality Today for a Sustainable Tomorrow. You know, the future is female. So it's unfortunate that Nigeria is on permanent reverse on so many issues, especially when it comes to gender issues. In fact, the rejection of those five gender bills by both our House of Representatives and the Senate shows that they're not even in tune with what is happening internationally. Now, instead of us to move forward, okay, what those bills are innocuous bills. Let's just take the issue of the citizenship, for instance. Why is it fair for a woman not to be able to confer citizenship on the husband? Okay, aside from that, because of our patriarchal nature of our society, when you in your father's house, they will not give you landed property. When you talk, they say go to your husband's place. In fact, even when it comes to political positions or positions that are zoned, you know, we operate federal character, they will not allow you, their daughter, to take that position because they will say you should go to your husband's place. You go to your husband's place and you are active, you've been doing a lot of things, you've been participating. When it comes to sharing slots, you know, on the basis of federal character, where you come from, they say no, you're not our daughter, even though you are married to that place. It's really unfair.
Well, when you speak about, for instance, the political offices and some other positions, because even in political parties, I think the complaint should start from there. You think that perhaps Why are women not being as actively involved as they ought to be? What could be responsible for that? Many have suggested that maybe the way the politics of the country is, I'm not just talking about perhaps the limitations, like generally our kind of politics doesn't, is why maybe a political party might not look at saying, let this woman be our spokesperson or our party chairman. I can't remember a political party that has that had a woman as a chairperson of that party or spokesperson. And looking at that, is that something that perhaps it's been looked at?
Yes, it's been looked at. Let me, you know,
Would women thrive in that situation?
Let me tell you the genesis of the whole issue. We come from a patriarchal society where women are looked down as unequal. In fact, before now, just that other civilized nations has moved on. You know, before the, even the enactment of the women's property rights, there was a time that in England, a woman is seen as a chattel and therefore she cannot own property.
Yes.
But all other countries of the world have moved on with that. You also know that being financially stable and being able to talk has a lot to do with how you're able to participate in politics. And you all know what land is. Because a woman can still not own land, despite judicial pronouncements to the contrary. You know, judicial pronouncements...
But when you say woman cannot own land, women can buy land.
They can buy land.
But when you mean like a traditional means of owning land?
Yes.
Okay.
Which is inheritance.
Okay. Inheritance
which
from that perspective. Because
yes,
women can purchase lands
can purchase
and get
land.
If they want.
Yes, but ordinarily... most of our society, they don't give women land. And you know that what land is very vital for you to be able to have access to loan, collateral, for you to be entrusted with certain things, you know. Land has a lot to do with it. So when women cannot have the collateral security, which is land, to be able to get big-time loan to enable them go into business. So you see, already they are handicapped. You also know that because of the gender bias...
But sorry to interrupt you, but even from this angle, if we look at that, some people would argue that isn't a guarantee because we have men who even don't have land as well, and those who have, or maybe you're the last in the family and all of that things that happened. But ultimately, what you're pointing out, is the problem more societal than... how would I put it now? Would the laws or policies solve the problem? Or do we have to change societal mindset?
Both of them will go concurrently. First of all, there are some laws in place that are not even being observed. The major problem we have is cultural and religious bias. First of all, if you look at, let's say women are as intelligent as men. You understand? Mm-hmm. So if you look at the STEM subjects, you know, engineering, science, women do perform, you know, as good as the men when it comes to writing exams. But when it comes to, you know, pursuing those careers, first of all, the issue of sex, gender, in the CV, when an employer of labor wants to employ, they will first look at if you're a female, you are less likely to get that appointment as than your male counterpart.
In an engineering firm.
Yes. If you are married, you are less likely, but they will look at it. They don't want to give you maternity leave or that you have excuses, you know. They also, you know, so those are the issues. But the problem is that men do not understand, especially our men in the House of Rep and Senate, that the rise of women does not mean the fall of men. That is the mindset, both the cultural and the you know, religious mindset that make them to strike down that.
So, if the idea from what you said, perhaps some men are thinking that if we give women the opportunity, they may just come over and collapse the whole structure, and men would be relegated, and then we have to start fighting all over again. The arguments many have had is that already men are also being marginalized in some areas where women are achieving a lot, but we don't have men complaining. One of our callers before you walked into the studio was pointing out the fact that if we're in chaos here and we have war, men, women and children are saved first. They are seen as the people that need to. In Ukraine now, I mean, they pay attention to that more. If you look at other situations, he highlighted a few things as well, that many people raise up as an argument legitimately, which we would look at it and say, okay, this is there. So for you as a woman and trying to make a case to get men to understand that this does not mean that, okay, we should now remain like this. How do we go about that? How do we go about pacifying and making men understand that it's not just about this?
It's through advocacy. That is why the African Women Lawyers Association, River State Charter, we don't relent. You know, in the past, we had visited the River State House of Assembly to even persuade them to pass the Violence Against Persons Prohibition Act, which has addressed some of the issues of women. In fact, let me say it. I'm not holding their brief, but I know that the River State House of Assembly, they, unlike even our federal houses, they have been trying to propose and pass gender-sensitive bills. Let me also commend these states particularly. I'm not from River State, but you know, I like what's happening here.
All the local governments, all the local governments,
all the vice chairmen are women. And they are women of no mean feet. Let me come. Let me come, please. Allow me. Mm-hmm. They are women of no mean feet. Check their statistics, check their pedigree. You know, it's only in, I don't know why we have that mindset. The same thing happened in California. In California, there is a state law that says, for any public quoted company, there must be a woman at the board. That is because they have seen the need to bridge the gender gap. The United Nations statistically has said it will take us 108 years for us to bridge the gender gap. We are not, what we are saying, all the injustices, all the relegation, all this time we've not been allowed to occupy prime places because they feel we are inferior, they feel we will not get better. You need, you know, legislation or some balancing to make it happen.
Okay.
It also happened in Ireland, you understand? You know, or in Canada, we are, they not allowed men paid a paternity leave. What was the reason for that legislation? Because it's either you take it or you don't take it. So when men now took those paternity leave with pay and they started getting involved in you know, taking care of their young ones, we now found out that it gave the women more opportunity to come out, to be able to, you know, bring in their God-given potentials to society. In fact, let me add that it appears that our Nigerian men don't even know what they're rubbing themselves up. Look at the likes of Obie Ezekwele, Ekwesili, Dora Akinyuli. You know, look at the innovation, the thing this person brought into education. Dora Akinyuli opened our eyes in the pharmaceutical industry and the extent of counterfeit drugs. So imagine that we've refused that those women had parents or had husbands who said you will not work, you should sit at home. Imagine what would have happened. These are just some of the few things we would have lost.
All right. The next question I would want to ask you, very fundamental, but we need to take some WhatsApp messages. It's going to be the fact that should women continue, if women continue agitating this way, it's almost like, for me, I would look at it and feel like women, you have more. Politically, women have, if we look at the numbers, for elections, for anybody to get to a position of power, you need women to vote.
Yes.
You need women to be there to support you.
Yes.
If you look at the music industry, for instance, or you're an artist or anything, if women don't support, it doesn't. I had to go through looking at popular people, and you see that the people that support women is usually not more, it's usually less. More women support men. And I'm saying, okay, for elections, you see that women need to vote more. If you want to get to that place, you need to involve women a lot. But then, aren't women seeing that they hold this sort of number? And why are they not using this or working with this? Instead of begging every other time to go and say, do this paper, do that paper, what stops women from coming together and saying, okay, we're bringing a candidate? What stops women from saying we're doing this or we're doing that to make our own point? We'll get your reaction to that. I know you're eager to say something, but let's open. Let me take a few calls first before we go further. Hello, Nigeria Info. Good morning. Hello. We lost that call. Good morning, Nigeria Info.
Hello. Good morning, Jude.
Good morning to you. Go ahead. 1 minute.
Yeah, my name is G.I.S.G. and I'm calling you from Rokmoko.
All right, go on.
Yes, I think these are some of the problems which I want to point out that women are having. And it's going to be good if they leave this aspect. Your guest has just come on studio to begin to appreciate the River State government on the bills, which she thinks that they have passed. But let me make you know this. The River State government, in as much as they have of every local government giving a vice chairman to a woman, how has the impact been felt in River State? That is one. Secondly, we have heard of issues where women that are in, as counselors, and even Mrs. Uche Kane from Eche had issues with Obi Nayahu, which up to today has not been talked about. And let's go to the Deputy Governor of River State. How has she been able to actively impact this whole thing into women? Because we've never seen her talk to show us that she's a Deputy Governor. The way she's acting, is that the way a Deputy Governor to act? But what we're saying is this. Please, let her not bring politics into this whole thing.
Okay.
Of course, we are happy that this whole thing is going on. But please, let her not bring politics, because if you ask me,
Right.
Women are not being represented very well.
All right,
in those areas.
Thank you very much. Because I was also about to throw in that question, which would be, given a position, is it equal to performing in that capacity? That's also something that many have raised up as a concern. Hello, Nigeria Info, good morning.
Good morning, distinguished Ifeyemi, and riding this.
Very fine, thank you. 1 minute, go ahead.
Yes, I remain Temple Okere. First of all, I want to celebrate the women. Very important. My mother also, who is a woman, a role model to me. Your guests in your studio, Ida, those are wonderful women. I celebrate all of them. And if we come to the issue of women, I want to be sincere to you. Even them themselves are also a problem to themselves. Because sometimes they don't tend to, you know, support themselves in some kind of area, which them as a woman are supposed to govern and support for themselves. And the last time I checked, they said, united we stand and divided we fall. But when you come to the issue of women giving their quota, my brother, it is equal to none, as far as I'm concerned. And in every office one occupies, there are some kind of responsibilities that office stipulates, which one cannot go contrary. When you talk a woman being a deputy governor, there is an in that office, there are functions, and I believe she will not go more than that. If you come to women as deputy, as the vice chairman, my brother here in the local government, they have been performing more. Even to tell you of the truth, Honorable Mrs. Uche Khan, coming as a local government, vice chairman, opening that office, make that office to be well known. If I'm an actual person, who was the former local government, vice local government chairman, as a man, we just don't know. We don't know. But we can be able, you can ask a child who was the former committee, the immediate vice former chairman of the chair local government, they will tell you. Who is the present one, the present vice chairman of the chair, they will also tell you. So, when it comes to the women's effort, my brother, giving a woman's lot is very much paramount. And in a civil society, men should not to begin to drag positions with women, should not begin to struggle with women. Because I always say it and I continue to say, women on their own are proud. Very much good crowd. When they're coming,
all right, thank you very much. You made your point. Let's hear from you, Dr. Hilda, now. Yeah, so two things. I don't know where you want to start from. Maybe with the recent comments from our caller with regards to the question I raised from what he said. Appointing, giving a position, does it amount to performance? Allowing you to perform?
Giving a position does not amount to performance. But like I said, I have looked at most of the local government vice chairmen. It is when women were given that vice chairman chairman position that we began to see impact they are making. Hitherto, though, you won't even know the name of the person who is the vice chairman of a local government. But now you see them performing roles. And meanwhile, let us also know that as a vice, it is the duties that are assigned to you by your chairman that you're going to perform. You know, there are very few statutory roles of a vice. But however, I can tell you, like in Ahoda East, where I usually visit, the vice chairman there is doing well. You understand? You see programs, you know, when a woman wants to do something, you know, by their nature, ordinarily, they try to, you know, they do it well. So, but the ones I know, women that I have seen that are in position, they have performed there creditably. The only problem women have is they don't get the chance because of our, patriarchal nature. On the issue of women not supporting women, let me also say this. You know, it takes years, something that has built character, that has been built, or a way of doing things over the years. It takes, you know, a long, you know, some women don't even know why they should own land.
It is that serious. Because of brainwashing, brain drain, because of not just brain drain, what they already used to, some people are just complacent. Mm-hmm. But with advocacy, but what we are doing, women are beginning to see, we can do, we are not competing with the men. You understand? We only say, give us opportunity. We have something upset. There is nothing in the woman's brain that is not in the man's brain.
So with independent candidacy that we have now, with the recent session at the National Assembly, is it possible that we might have women come together and present a candidate?
Of course, it's very possible. But women cannot do it alone. We need to sensitize the men. We need to remove that bias. We need to remove, you know, this thing that has been built over the year. Is she not a woman? What can a woman do? You're behaving like a woman. Because they see women as weak. In fact, women who are assertive in the workplace and who stand are looked as, you understand, are looked in such a way. You're behaving as if you're a man. Because a man is expected in leadership position to be firm. You understand?
Yes.
To be authentic, to be assertive, not to pander to emotions in taking decisions. But incidentally, when women are in position and they begin to be assertive, you know, to put their foot down for things to be done, it's the same men that will come and say, she's so bossy. Look at how she's doing as if she's a man. So it's a problem that I've started over the years. It needs education. It needs, and we'll start with our youths. That is why, let me tell you what I do. I have a boy and three girls. I don't do gender roles. Everybody will have to enter the kitchen. Everybody will have to do a lot of things.
Everybody will start the generator.
Yes, everybody will start the generator. My daughter started the generator yesterday.
Because, you know, most people, when you talk about the engineering part, I was talking about a friend who wanted to employ. So, and it was like, he told the lady, like, okay, now this car engine, now, if we say carry it now, how are we going to start? What, you know,
women are in the military.
And those things then come.
Okay, let me tell you where we even start. It has a lot to do with mothers and fathers. The girl cries and holds her baby and encourage her. Then the boys, we have one issue and cry. Say, are you not a man? Why are you crying? We stifle men not to express their emotions. It ought not to be. So the boy starts from when he's young to look down at his younger sister as inferior and looks at himself as superior. So that's why a lot of education needs to be done, especially from the parents, to make the boy in your son in the house not look down on the sisters as inferior, as not being able to accomplish tasks.
All right, let's take some WhatsApp messages quickly as we begin to wind down. I joined the international community to celebrate women all over the world, wishing them happy Women's Day today. Though they in the country, they don't have... I didn't get that. But the role of women in politics, a woman will make a good president in this country. Ezekiel Azaya sent in that one. When do we need the generalization of everything in this country? What need is the focus of affirmative action on women in politics? Okay, women contributed immensely to national development. Perhaps the level that Andrew and I put together may not be able to equal the record of one of them. No man or masculine force stopped or segregated against them. Please, let's stop demonizing the male folks. Okay, I get what he's trying to say. I think the fact that these women who are mentioning now did all of this and that they did in a time where we didn't even have some of these laws. And it wasn't like one man said, don't do it. It was... okay, you can do this. I know for Ezekwesili, Obasanjo said personally,
yes,
I want this woman. They recommended her, say she's good because of a track record. I want this woman. And that's why I brought the question of, is it really the policies that would cause the effect? Because many people are saying, should women even really be asking for this? They can just go out there and do something and people will see. I like us to listen to what this is something from a lawyer. I want to listen to it and then get your reaction quickly before we wrap things up.
Talk about women participation in politics. I feel that the right thing to do is not for this law to just be given to women. They have to contest it. It's a public office. People will have to have confidence in them. People have to see them as having the capacity to represent them in holding public offices. They have to give them votes. They have to earn the votes. It's not a matter of whether you're a man or woman. If you earn the votes, then you can get it. As far as what the National Assembly has done in this respect, I do not fault them. I think they have left it at the pranks of what it should be left for the society to determine who should stand in for them, whether it's a woman or a man.
All right, so that point there, he said, and what the message this person just sent. If, for instance, we have Adora coming now to say she wants to run for president, God bless her soul, a lot of people definitely would support. Instead of the agitation, is it proper that women just go out there and make a statement and put out and do something? People now make example with NAFDAC and they'll refer to that woman. They don't even remember any other man that occupied that position ever. But it wasn't because she was a man or a woman. I think it was largely because of what she did.
Did, yes.
So isn't that what women should be looking at now? Doing instead of going to ask. Because people feel like asking makes it's almost like you're still trying to say that the men are above and so you have to ask them for it.
You know why we're asking? Because we've been put down for so many years, mm-hmm. that we need, you know, some level play. We need some concessions to be where we are. Imagine in this century that widows are still being denied of inheriting their husband's property. How many times have you seen that a woman dies and they will say it's the husband that has killed the woman? But you see, this particular issue of a widowhood has been so, you know, prevalent even in most of our communities in this River State, to an extent that the River State of Assembly had to also pass a law criminalizing disinheriting a widow. Those are some of those things that should come in our constitution, so that the women, like widows, for the first time, where there was provision to make sure that you know, they are protected. These are part of the things that we are struck out. In African Women Lawyers Association, okay, imagine once you disinherit somebody, as many as a young widow of 30, 29, 25, once you disinherit her, dehumanize her, make her pass through all these dehumanizing practices. So will she be on the level playing ground with her male counterparts? So there need to be something. There need to be a state policy. It did not start in Nigeria. I've given you an example in California. I've given you the example in Canada. You know, the things they need to do to make sure that women also, also come up.
All right.
That's why at African Women Lawyers Association, we have a special interest in widows. We have a partnership with Obilulu Briggs Foundation to provide free legal services and advice to widows, so that everybody at the end of the day will have a level playing ground.
All right. Thank you very much. I wish we had a lot of time, but then I'm trying to squeeze out all the time that I can to have the most we can with this conversation. But thank you very much for making our time to come, Dr. Hilda Desmond. Maybe we'll have this conversation another time.
And my parting word is, the rise of women is not the fall of men.
So that should men be should be a slogan.
Support women.
That should be a slogan.
Yes, that's my
thank
slogan.
You very much. And thank you very much for your messages and calls, and those of us participating on Facebook, thank you as well. My name is Ifeyemi Andrew, and this is where we draw the curtain today. A happy International Women's Day to all women around the world. Remember, respect a woman, because, and don't see any person as a man or a woman first. Look at them first as a human being. That's the way to go. Good morning.